Just going to read just a few verses from James chapter 4. James chapter 4. It's on page 1013 in the Church Bible. James 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. The 19th century preacher Charles Spurgeon said, there are two great certainties about things that shall come to pass. One is that God knows, and the other is that we do not know. James, in his letter from which we've just read, simply says, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. I'm sure each of us could testify to the reality of this when that tomorrow has sent us something that we at least expected 24 hours earlier. You may have listened to the King's speech on Christmas Day. His grandfather famously ended his Christmas message back in 1939 during those very uncertain times for the nation with this quote. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand in the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. And the king ended by saying, may that almighty hand guide and uphold us all. So are we trusting in the sovereignty and in the providence of God as we come to the end of another year and move in to the next? James writes about those who make plans as to where they are going and what they are going to achieve. But it applies equally to everyone, regardless of our situation. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. So are we saying that we are never to plan ahead? That we should literally take each day as it comes? Well, the Bible isn't condemning good stewardship or future planning. Imagine if nothing was ever planned. What it does condemn is a self-centeredness that is lived without any reference to God, where there is no recognition of his sovereignty. And James is saying that the one who trusts in the Lord is the one who lives their life under the slogan, if God wills. So what is it that we are saying here? Well, firstly, we're saying that our knowledge does not extend to knowing the future. It's obvious, really, isn't it? However, we sometimes think we do. We often wish we could know the future. In other words, we live and think in a way that suggests that we are shaping that future through what we plan and what we achieve. And James reminds us that our time is in God's hands. He says, what is your life? And we're reminded here about our frailty, We're reminded about the transience of life. James uses the illustration of a mist. It's there one moment, and just as quickly, it disappears. As I wrote this, I watched the steam coming off my cup of coffee. But where did it go? Life is uncertain. There's plenty going on around us that confirms that. We acknowledge that in our prayer time. There are no guarantees about tomorrow. Now, I'm not trying to be morbid, but it's the reality of life, isn't it? We might say of someone, his days are numbered. Well, we mean that someone or something will not last much longer, or is going to fail, or will die, or will end soon. Or that any day now, the manager of our favourite football team is to get the sack. Their days are numbered. But here's the thing. We know that our days are numbered. Psalm 139, verse 16. David writes, "Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began." That is stunning, isn't it, when we think of it that way? See, what the Christian knows is that time will end, but that eternity with Christ will not. That's our confidence through faith in Jesus, repenting of our sin, knowing that we're forgiven at the cross, as we've been sharing this afternoon, recipients of eternal life. Our time's safe in his hands. Now, I wonder whether we actually live our lives with this in mind. I wonder whether I really live my life with this in mind. We sung, "Who holds our days within his hand? What comes apart from his command? And what will keep us to the end?" Some good questions there, isn't there? And the answer, the love of Christ, in which we stand. Here is the liberating submission and confidence of the believer. Whatever is going to happen in this life, we're in his hands. It's hard, isn't it, to look at these verses without thinking of the story that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 12 of a rich landowner who produces such a plentiful crop that he just doesn't know, he hasn't enough room for it, he doesn't know what he's going to do with it. What does he do? "I will do this," he says. "I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry." But God calls him a fool. Not because he has plenty. But why? God says, "This night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God," concludes Jesus. We've already determined that James isn't saying that we should not be good stewards, that we should not make sensible provision. He isn't saying that we should never book a holiday or never take out a pension. We are to be humble as we make plans. We need to recognize our complete dependence on God's providential care. What is providence? Well, providence is God's wise and purposeful sovereignty in the world. In other words, he's in control. He gives us all things. There is only one guarantee about tomorrow, and it's that God is in control. There's a famous line in a poem written by Robert Burns, which goes, "The best laid plans of mice and men oft go awry." The poem was written to a mouse whose house suddenly gets ploughed over by a farmer, despite the mouse's careful planning. I guess we experience something of that, don't we? When we make plans and they don't work out. So what should be our approach? Well, here's the thing. Nothing in the entire universe, and that includes you and me, would continue to exist for one moment apart from God. Paul writes in Acts 17, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." We're going to end by singing a song that has as its title The Christian's Daily Prayer. And it begins like this: "As morning dawns and day awakes, to you I bring my need. O gracious God, my source of strength, in you I live and breathe. Each hour is yours by wisdom planned, each deed empowered by sovereign hands. Renew my spirit, help me stand, be glorified today." Let us consider our plans for today, for tomorrow, for the new year, and perhaps further on in our lives. Have we prayed about them? Do we acknowledge God's sovereign hand in all things? Do we want his will done? David, pleading for God's rescue from his enemies, confidently asserts in Psalm 31:15, "My times are in your hand." There's a hymn based on that. It's written, and it goes like this: "My times are in your hand, whatever they may be, pleasing or painful, dark or bright, as you know best for me. My times are in your hand. Why should I doubt or fear? My Father's hand will never cause his child a needless tear." I wonder, do I believe that? Am I trusting? So for the Christian, what is the key to the future? What is the key to planning? Well, James introduces it by saying, instead. Instead of what? Instead of trying to control our life and everything that happens, the key is this: if the Lord wills. Now, I'm not suggesting that everything we say should always end with the words "God willing." Even if we don't say it, we should at least think it. It should become an attitude of our heart. It should even be reflected in our speech. And it shows that we are humbly dependent upon the Lord. The Apostle Paul knew this. He lived out this principle. Acts 18, verse 21, "I will return to you if God wills." 1 Corinthians 4, verse 19, "But I will come to you soon if the Lord wills." 1 Corinthians 16, verse 7, "I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits." Here we are given a mindset that needs to permeate every part of our life. Being continually aware of our frailty and our total dependence on God, on his sovereign purpose in every aspect of life. And so we live the life of "if God wills." Alistair Begg wrote, "You cannot control the future, but you do not need to, for you know the one who does." May that be our confidence. Confidence in his love, confidence in his grace, confidence in his purposes.